I know it's been a little while, but I think it's a good time to take another trip down under.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
It was back at the beginning of October that I had a good friend, George Christensen, as my guest on the program. He's a member of parliament in Australia. And I want to mention this before I get into our little talk today. I am surprised and blessed. When I started this program, Truth to Ponder, I figured the audience would be predominantly in the United States and maybe even into Canada. But I've been surprised, both on air, on shortwave, and as a podcast, we have picked up an audience around the world. It's not just the United States and Canada. It's also the United Kingdom. Some listeners on occasion in Germany and other parts of Europe, and a surprising regular number of listeners in Australia. And that humbles your host here more than you'll ever know. I want to thank those that listen, and yes, even those that have taken the time to help support this work. May God bless you for doing so. This is a labor of love on my part. Any funds raised or used to keep the podcast going and distributed, and also for shortwave airtime. Well, back in October, I had as my guest on the program, George Christensen, and he was talking about how the coronavirus has impacted Australia. And George, I want to get an update on some of the things that have happened in Australia because of the coronavirus lockdowns and pandemic. So what is the latest?
Well, a lot of people in the States would have heard of the lockdowns that happened in Victoria, and in particular, Melbourne. They have been eased somewhat. I mean, it's not like suddenly everyone is free, as they should be, as people in Australia should be. But after 112 days or something like that, restrictions actually eased in Victoria from about midnight on Sunday, the 8th of November. But, you know, it's not like everything's restricted. They still are requiring face masks to be worn everywhere in the state if people are to leave home. And we know that the face mask thing is it's arguable.
It's questionable. Very questionable.
There are a lot of reports out there, including recent ones, which just say the efficacy of this is nonsense. This is one requirement. You can only have two people visit you at home each day. So if that remains in place for Christmas, well, there goes Christmas for most people if they have big families. Outdoor gatherings limited to 10 people. Cafes, bars, restaurants, 70 people indoors. And so that puts a big crimp on what businesses can do and how much money they can make, which then goes on to impact upon jobs. Same thing in gyms and places like that. There's restrictions there, restrictions in indoor sport, indoor swimming pools, and of course for churches.
Oh, absolutely.
Only 50 people. Only 50 people allowed. So how's that? A bar can have up to 70, but a church, only 50. This goes on and on and on. Funerals, only 50 people, 20 if indoors. There's nothing free about what is going on in Victoria. It's just less restrictive than what it has been. But I got to tell you, that's not the craziest thing. Now, for your listeners in the main, Bob, they're American, so let me just say the politics of Victoria. Victoria has a Labor government run by a fellow called Dan Andrews. We call him Chairman Dan because of his socialist tendencies. The Victoria, as I said, run by the Labor Party. That is the Australian version of the Democrats. Okay. Now, on the right in Australia, we have the Liberal Party and the National Party. Probably you could say roughly the Australian translation of the Republicans. So okay. South Australia has a Liberal government, and there was a blowout in the number of cases in South Australia, something like, I think, 19 in only a couple of days, 19 new cases.
19 new cases. Now, okay, let's make sure we're not talking hospitalizations. Yeah. We're talking they tested positive with the PCR test.
That's right. They tested positive with that test. And from 19 new cases, everyone started running around as if their hair was on fire. No one's died, just 19 new cases. And immediately they announced that there was going to be a statewide lockdown of the sort that has never been seen, not just in Australia, but in the world.
Oh,
everything,
wow.
Everything was grinding to a halt. You couldn't even go out to walk your dog with a mask on. Schools, universities, shops closed. It sent the whole place into panic. There were supermarkets that were stripped of everything on their shelves as people rushed, obviously, to get what goods they need, thinking we're not going to be let out for a week. And, you know, we've heard this story before. How long does a week last with this coronavirus?
Well, here in the United States, we were told 15 days to flatten the curve became around 200.
Well, that's you know, and this is what they all thought. This is going to go on for a while. Well, it turns out that the reason that they actually did this lockdown was because out of the new batch of people who had tested positive, there was one that they could not trace back to a source. Mm-hmm. And they were very, very worried that this meant that there was community outbreak that they could not pick up. But they sort of worked out it had something to do with a pizza restaurant. As it turned out, the guy in question, who was the one they couldn't work out where he got it from, they worked it out. He had lied to them. He'd given them false information, and he was completely and utterly connected to every other one of the 19 people that had had the outbreak. So they've ended this lockdown now, but there is criticism going on about why on earth you would have brought in the most draconian-style lockdown on the back of information that that really was questionable. And I got to say that even if it was right, even if they didn't know the source of this community outbreak, and it wasn't a community outbreak, but even if there was that, why would you lock down an entire state like that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't begin to tell you how demoralizing it is for myself. I'm a very proud Australian. I'm patriotic. I love my country. I love my country because my country is free. It's in our national anthem. We sing it. You know, Australians all let us rejoice.
Oh, same here in the United States. You know, the home of the brave and land of the free.
Well, we say Australians all let us rejoice, for we are young and free. We've just thrown these freedoms out the door, and we've done it all because there's a virus going around that has a survival rate of 997 out of 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I don't want to give up a single liberty, a single freedom for a virus that is very, very unlikely to kill me. I read a statistic the other day, that you're more likely to die if you ride a scooter than if you contract the coronavirus. This is just madness. And what's even more maddening than these lockdowns is the fact that people within my own country seem to, you know, not care. They almost seem to actually approve of it. I'm actually looking at polling data, and we can't trust the polling. We certainly can't trust it in the US, but we can't trust it in Australia so much either. But the Premier of Victoria that had these huge, huge lockdowns took away all the freedoms. I'm looking at a poll that was done by, a fairly reputable polling company in Australia, Roy Morgan, they call themselves, and it's showing that his party has a 58.5% support in Victoria, and the Premier himself, the one responsible for stripping everyone's freedom away, has an approval rating of 71%.
Wow.
Now, even if that was off a little bit, as sometimes these polls are, 71%, that's huge. Even if you strip that out with a 10% error of margin, which would be crazy, to say that someone's got more than 60% support from the very people who he stripped all those freedoms from just tells you how wrong the situation is. I don't know what's more devastating to me, the lockdown, the stripping away of freedoms, mm-hmm. or the compliance and the agreement with the compliance. It's very sad.
Well, one of the things that concerns me as I look at this pandemic, and right now I'm calling it here in the United States a more accurate term, it's becoming a case-demic. And there's a lot I'll be getting into with other people this week as well on what do I mean by that. Since this entire virus became a thing, so to speak, around the world, and a lot of people are still pretending it came from a wet market in Wuhan. There's no way that it came out of some wet market. This came out of a laboratory in Wuhan. This is nothing more than the SARS 2003-2004 virus, having gone through gain-of-function studies first in the United States, then after it became illegal in Canada, and then with American money, it went to, Mr. Fauci's money. I call him Mr. Fauci because he's Dr. Fraud. And with our money, it goes to Wuhan. And now we're supposed to believe this virus came from an old bat from 300 miles away from Wuhan, and this is what is, infecting the world. So I have a problem with the narrative of where it came from. We know where it came from. It came from China. It came from China. And it was released either by accident or by design on the free world to cause a collapse. I don't care what anybody says. And guess what? It's working.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I'm, like you, I don't believe the narrative around that this was something that came out of a wet market. I mean, there is more than enough evidence that showed that it didn't. At the start of this, I was very worried that, oh boy, is China released some sort of biological weapon. But I don't want to get into the conspiracy theory sort of side of things here, but there is enough evidence to say that it came out of one of the viral labs that they had, whether it was by accident or by design.
Exactly.
There is certainly enough evidence, and all you need to do is go looking for that. I'm not going to go into it all. There's plenty of stuff across the internet about that. But the one interesting thing, and I shared this with you recently offline, September 15th, Tablet magazine published a report called China's Global Lockdown Propaganda Campaign. Now, this to me is actually more interesting than where the virus come from. What this journalist who wrote this this piece in Tablet magazine, Michael Singer is his name, he pieced together, all that footage that we saw of people falling over in the streets in Beijing Wuhan rather, didn't get to Beijing. They locked the country down. So it didn't get to Beijing while they were exporting it across the rest of the world. But you remember all those videos of people just collapsing in the streets in Wuhan? Well, he's saying that these videos that we were told were leaked were actually all state media videos. They were all done with the approval of the government-controlled media apparatus. And they go on to say that on social media, that actually it was Chinese bots that were actually promoting these videos. So
that's right.
What was the purpose of this? It was to scare the hell out of us.
Exactly.
Exactly. And then to lock us down hard like they did, saying, look, we fixed this problem in Wuhan. We locked everything down. You've got to do the same thing. They did it in Italy. Democratic mayors and governors tried to do the same in the US. They've done the same in Victoria here in Australia. And it's destroyed our economies. And that's a real thing. That means people's livelihoods gone, people's life savings gone, people's businesses they've worked all their lives for gone.
Absolutely.
That's going to lead to not just mental illness and stress, it could lead to people taking their own lives.
Sitting in front of me on my screen right now, I pulled something up, and it is from the World Economic Forum. It's their website, which is weforum.org. If anybody wants to look it up, and if you're wondering, you know what really, where this really comes from, or what's being used, and right from their own website, on a page called Focus, the Great Reset. This is what's on the website of the World Economic Forum. And it goes, the Great Reset. The pandemic presents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine or reimage, and reset our world. That's from Professor Klaus Schwab, the founder and executive director and chairman of the World Economic Forum. I mean, it's like this virus is the time for the Great Reset. And I'm looking on this whole page, you know, the four building blocks of the Great Reset, a golden opportunity, the Prince of Wales and other leaders on the forum, all for the Great Reset. And then, it, you know, there's an article here. Now is the time. This is an article right from the World Economic Forum. It's their website. This is not fake news. This is not some conspiracy theory. I am looking at the World Economic Forum's, you know, and right there, now is the time for the Great Reset. They want you, the Reset microsite is here, and it goes, hear his podcast, and it's just, these lockdowns may be eventually easing, but anxiety about the world's social and economic prospects are only intensifying. And it goes on and on how we can use this, you know, use this pandemic to recreate the entire world. I mean, collapse the economy and rebuild from scratch. This is crazy.
It's crazy, all right. And boy, if you have had a look at that Schwab, I mean, all he needs is the white cat, and he's got a walk-up start next James Bond villain. And the plan that's out there is something out of a James Bond movie. And so, you know, your eyes sort of glaze over when you hear about this, thinking this can't be true. And then you go and read it. I mean, they're upfront about it, that we're going to use this pandemic, use the collapse of the economy, use the authoritarianism that's come out across the West to ensure that there is a reset of everything. And the scariest thing of all, they've actually got videos out there promoting this Great Reset dating back to 2016. So this is nothing new. They're just an old agenda, a very, very old agenda. It's called communism.
Exactly.
But it's an agenda this outfit has been pushing for many years now. And they're just using this as an opportunity. But one of the videos that they've got, as I said, dating back to 2016, has got a young guy in it, and it's got the words written on there, it's the year 2030, and I earn absolutely nothing, but I am happy.
I know.
And I'm thinking, actually, it says, you own absolutely nothing, and you are happy. And I'm wondering whether the second one is actually a statement of fact or an order. and you know, you've got leftist European politicians,
absolutely,
that have contributed to this the World Economic Forum. You can actually see their articles up on their website there, and they say the same thing. You will own absolutely nothing under their plan in 2030. Nothing at all. Everything will be held in common. There's a word for that.
It's, I know, communism. It's quite, you know,
we know it. We've seen this picture before.
We've seen it. Russia, look, I'm telling you,
Venezuela, China, it's failed.
I know. We have here in the United States, and you can kind of share your views from down in Australia. Our educational system for the past 25 years has done a horrid job in educating our young people. They graduate high school here knowing very little about American history. Their grammar, for many, stinks. Their math skills are marginal for most. And if you ask them basic questions, just stuff that fifth graders knew 30 years ago, they don't know it. They know how to use their phone. They're into their music. They're into their devices. And they're living these strange little lives through a cell phone. And they are poorly equipped, and they believe they're entitled. That's a word I'm getting to despise. I'm entitled. And I'm looking at this Great Reset agenda in front of me. And I want you to listen to this really carefully. These are right from this website. Government should implement long overdue reforms that promote. Now, here's the word that all these young people jump onto: with more equitable outcomes. You've heard that term before. Equitable outcomes, which means we have to increase wealth taxes. We have to get out of the fossil fuel. We have to have new rules on intellectual property, trade, and competition. In other words, all the barriers go down and you own nothing. And eventually you won't even own your own home or your car. You'll just be allowed to have one.
Yeah. Well, it's... as I said, what else can you call it other than communism? Mm-hmm. I've actually just pulled up that article that I was talking about. The member of parliament, she's a socialist member of parliament, comes from Denmark. It's again on the World Economic Forum website. Here's how life could change in my city by the year 2030, by Ida Auken, socialist member of parliament from Denmark. And she says, welcome to the year 2030. Welcome to my city, or should I say our city? I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't own any appliances or any clothes. She goes on then to talk about how this socialist utopia would work. We never go shopping anymore, I got to say. I'm a fan of that. But the socialist utopias never, ever work.
Never.
It always ends up being something done at the point of a gun. Because you don't get the decision, you don't get the choice of whether you want to be party to it or not. And, I've got this in my office in Parliament House. I have this big, thick black book, and it's called The Black Book of Communism. Uh-huh. And it details, up until probably around the 1990s, it details every major communist attack and massacre on humanity that there's been, from the Russian Revolution through to Pol Pot in Cambodia through to China and what they've done. And communism has been responsible for more deaths in the last century than anything else.
Exactly. Hundreds of millions.
Even Nazis Germany. Look, talk about Nazi Germany. What's the word Nazi mean? It's National Socialist. Actually, the tendencies of, I mean, while they styled themselves as anti-communist, the economic tendencies of the Nazis were socialist. And in fact, they did go on to socialize means of production throughout their country.
Exactly.
So what they did is they fused the state with the major corporations that they had in Germany. So it became this sort of state corporatism. Uh-huh. And I got to say that when I look at this World Economic Forum, again, I don't want to go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole, but what I see is a whole heap of major corporations backing this type of stuff and this great reset.
Oh, even worse, you have major governments that are involved with this.
Yeah. So the fusion of governments and corporations pushing what it basically amounts to communism. So why would these corporations be pushing that? Are they going to be winners out of this?
Exactly. Because, you know, face it, if you look, and most of our young people don't understand this, they think it's a great idea, but it isn't. In Germany, in the 1930s, you could be a wealthy businessman, but your company was dictated what it could and could not do by the government. In other words, private ownership, government full control. And the government chose winners and losers, and those that played ball, so to speak, became the winners, and those that didn't, well, they went out of business. That's why certain auto manufacturers and airplane manufacturers and other businesses thrived in the early days of Nazi Germany, because they were the chosen winners and they went along with the program. And those that didn't got crushed and put out of business. And that's what we're heading for. We're heading for that now.
And this is why I think that, I know that the count still, the legal challenges are still going on, post your presidential election over there, but I got to say that it's sadly looking like it might be trending in the wrong direction, and that Joe Biden could very well be the next president of the United States, and that would be a great shame. I really do hope for somewhat of a miracle.
Look, I'm going to come out and just say it. I'm going to come out and say it. I don't, you know me well enough that I don't jump into conspiracy theories, but I jump into what looks factual. I've never played that game. But for the first time in my life, I mean, look, we've known there's been, shall we say, election cheating over the last, 240 years, probably in some places, but not on the scale with what is being alleged. And the news media is trying to cover it up like a cat covering up its business in a litter box. Literally. I mean, this election, no wonder Mr. Biden didn't go out and do anything. He didn't have to, because the election theft was already in the planning stages, and they wanted to keep him from saying anything stupid out on the road. No wonder Hillary Clinton said, do not don't concede on any, you know, for any reason at all. I think the plans were already in place to steal this election. And I'm beginning to wonder, you know, what the future of my nation is if we go down, if Australia goes down, if a few other democracies and free people go down. What's going to stand in the way of this new global agenda? I mean, they're going to use climate change. They're going to use the idea of equal outcomes, and they're going to use health and vaccines and tracing and tracking. They're going to know everything about you, and I see a very dangerous world ahead. And I'm not going to call it the Great Tribulation from a biblical point of view, but it's going to be a real time of tribulation in this country if things don't change real fast. What do you think?
Well, Great Tribulation or Great Reset. I mean, they're wanting a massive change. And as I was sort of saying, that the US election, I think that it's going to be a great shame if Donald Trump doesn't get to serve a second term, because he is like the proverbial boy with his finger in the dam wall holding back the water. And it would have given us another 4 years to try and, try and mount a challenge against this slide towards world socialism, basically. I really do fear that under a Joe Biden presidency, it's just going to be the U.S. marching happily along down that path. And where the U.S. goes, the rest of the Western world follows. And I see it in Australia already. I mean, we have had... We've got so much of this climate change apparatus. I wish that our
we'll get to that in a second.
In Australia, I wish that our leaders had the courage of Donald Trump to walk away from the Paris Agreement, but we don't. But we've resisted bringing in cap and trade schemes, resisted bringing in carbon taxes, and we've had prime ministers that have stood up and actually have said that this is just simply socialism masquerading as environmentalism, and it is. It's all part of the same push.
Right now, we got to take a quick break and be right back in just a couple of moments. Want to remind you, you're listening to the program Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Our website is truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. My guest today on the program is a member of parliament from down under in Australia, George Christensen, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. So glad that you're with us today. Once again, that website address to find out more about this program and what we do is truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. A number of people have been sharing their thoughts about the program by email and also by regular mail, the snail mail. And I appreciate those that are writing and also those that are now supporting and making this program possible. If you want to use a mailing address, if you don't do email, let me give that address right now. I'll give it again before the end of the program. And that address is 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire, and it's a lane, L-A-N-E, 21 Berkshire Lane. And add the number 263 on that line, number 263. Our little post office here likes to use our box, so that's how they want our address done. We are in the city of Sky Valley, Georgia, and the zip code here is 30537. That is 30537. I want to thank those that have made this program possible on International Shortwave and growing, of course, as a podcast. My guest today is Member of Parliament George Christensen from Down Under in Australia. Welcome back to the program, George. And we were talking as we went to the break before about the World Economic Forum. And a lot of people, when someone says that, oh, you're just making stuff up, well, go to their website, weforum.org, and learn for yourself, because they're using this pandemic right from their website. The global pandemic has underscored the underlying and persistent problems that predated COVID-19. And these are all about climate change, inequity, lack of information, and they want a healthier world. They want to be able to track you. They want to give you vaccines. They want to tell you what industries we need to keep and get rid of. And we have young people today who have no ability to think for themselves, and all this free stuff sounds so good on paper anyway. The World Economic Forum, I think, is one of the most dangerous entities in the world today. But so many young people have never been informed about what socialism and communism is and how many millions have died because of it. And they think it's going to be a wonderful thing here. We can make it work this time. Wow. So when you compare this, you're hearing the same kind of narratives down under about the wonders of what is of the Great Reset.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And in fact, this very day in Australia, one of our left-wing newspapers has actually got an article on this Great Reset, because obviously people are jumping straight to, oh, is this a conspiracy theory that conservatives are pushing? And they outline that, well, actually, no, it's not. This is all out there. This is the Davos crowd. This is the World Economic Forum. And they've got it up there. to quote this article, the Great Reset imagines a radically different economic system. In other words, and word order, of the global management consultants McKinsey, the agenda will be climate change, sustainability, social justice, and the pandemic. A frequently cited phrase from a World Economic Forum 2030 prediction is that you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. As I said before, I'm not sure whether that second part is a statement of fact or an order. You will be happy. But wow. This is not just – this has been – as I said, this is – an age-old theory. This is communism. This is nothing new. But in modern times, it's also something we've just heard this name, Great Reset. It's a buzzword. But this has been about for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
We've had the United Nations pushing Agenda 21. Now we're into the 21st century. So now it's Agenda 2030. And people's eyes glaze over when you talk about this. But again, it is all absolute fact. And I know from being in the Australian Parliament for 10 years, hell, I was in local government, a city council, for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And that Agenda 21 stuff from the United Nations, now it's called Agenda 2030, it was playing a role in local government. I saw elements in our local town plan that referred to Agenda 21, and council was doing this to conform with Agenda 21, or at least that's what the bureaucrats were saying for us to do. So it does have an impact. And Agenda 2030, again, all these high-level principles are picked up. They're signed off at the United Nations, different treaties and all the sort of things that are entered into that are binding or non-binding. They then filter through the bureaucracies of democratic governments and say to elected politicians and leaders, look, we actually agreed to this at the UN, so we have to really do it now. And next thing you know, you've got a carbon trading scheme. You've got a carbon tax. You've got something that you didn't actually want, but because it goes back to this United Nations forum, now you have it. And it's not just environmental stuff, but it starts there.
You know,
I actually went through a video that the United Nations recently posted earlier this year, and it was like a Great Reset type propaganda piece. It had all of these sort of B-grade actors and celebrities that were moralizing to us mere mortals. But it was laying out the key points of this Agenda 2030, which are the same key points as the Great Reset.
Yeah, look, I'm looking at some headlines here, and I'm glad you're saying what you're saying. I want to just – this is right from that World Economic Forum – I can't even speak today – World Economic Forum website. Ready for this headline, how lockdowns have slashed global emissions and are curing climate change.
Yeah, so it's a great thing, isn't it? Or locking everyone down.
Yeah, Greenland's ice sheet could melt at a rate not seen. Notice it says could. All I can tell you is for the last 50 years, I've been hearing we only have 10 years left. And every prediction that should have occurred by now continually fails. So why should I keep listening to these people? You know, would you? I mean, they've never been right yet.
You would have heard of the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. You've heard of the Great Barrier Reef. Uh-huh. Massive, one natural wonder of the world. I live just on land. If I went out in a boat, I'd get to the Great Barrier Reef. It's that close to me. Uh-huh. And it is there. It exists. And it is teeming with coral, teeming with marine life. There are some sections of it that are damaged. They get damaged by cyclones. You call them typhoons. We call them cyclones. They get damaged by coral bleaching during summer, which is a phenomenon that's been happening now for decades. But it is still there and it is still alive. And they've been telling the rest of the world that the Great Barrier Reef is either dead or dying because of climate change. And it is not. It is not. It is there. And when the borders reopen, I'd encourage any American to come and go out into the Great Barrier Reef.
If the borders reopen, there's the big if. You know, I sometimes wonder. Listen, right, you something you said just a moment ago, I want to bring it right back. You were talking about the carbon credit. There's an article here at the World Economic Forum website. What is a carbon credit? And are you ready for this one? China's plan to launch the world's largest carbon trading scheme by 2025. How about that? China, the one that gave us the virus, now they want to, you know, they want to have a carbon trading. Look, they're the biggest polluters on the planet. Why would we want to deal with them? You know, it's crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy. And this is the thing, is that the Western nations continuously get harassed for being so-called big polluters. China is a massive I hate to use the term, but I'm using their terms, a massive polluter. It actually has real pollution, but when they use the term pollution, they're talking about carbon dioxide emissions, which carbon dioxide isn't a pollutant, actually.
No, it's not.
It is a naturally occurring gas. But anyway, they produce...
Without carbon dioxide, we cannot grow plant life. We can't have any corn. You can't have any cabbage. Yeah. You can't have any fruit or vegetables without it.
Yeah, good luck living without it. But you know, it goes back to this Great Reset. It goes back to this Agenda 2030. I was talking about a video before that all these celebrities did. I'm just going to let you know a few things that I noted from this video about the 2030 agenda. They talk about reducing emissions by 50% by 2030, no matter the economic consequences. So they're going to have this just transition phase where workers in industries like coal, and there's a lot of them, particularly in those poor states in America, and there's a lot of them here in Australia, will be moved into new jobs, apparently in the new green economy. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got very large solar farms in my electorate, very, very large, one of which at the time was the largest in the country. It's no longer now because they're building them at a rapid rate of knots, sadly. But this solar farm had 5 full-time equivalent employees, and their jobs were to wash down the solar panels because they get dust over them, and to do the mowing and the whippersnipping to keep the grass down so the grass doesn't grow above the solar panels. So there's your green jobs of the future, washing solar panels and doing the mowing. And that's, you know, from these meaningful jobs and key industries like coal, they want to move them into these type of jobs. It went on from there. They talk about getting rid of fossil fuel subsidies, which in Australia, I don't know about the US, in Australia, we've got something called an off-road diesel fuel rebate. It means that the diesel fuel, you get a tax rebate, so you don't pay tax on it if you're not using that fuel for an on-road purpose. So it goes back to the mining companies, it goes back to the farmers as well. Those sort of things would be taken away. It would cause massive economic damage. It goes beyond environment, though. They talk about wanting us to spend a lot more on welfare. They talk about wanting us to get rid of tax cuts. They talk about wanting us to ensure that social media is responsible.
Well, I'm glad you said that. You just opened up the next topic that came right up here from world. They have this whole thing on related projects, you know, the things that they need to get done to fix our world. They have this thing, United for News. They want to be controlling and have all the news uniform. United for News, empowering media in a disruptive world. They want to create the trusted, high-quality news that is the same worldwide. They want a global alliance for responsible media. You know, they want to make sure that everything, like you were just saying, you know, we need more Facebook fact checkers out there to keep everybody in line. You know, can you
censorship?
Yeah, censorship. They want a global digital content safety to keep you away from fake news as they see it. And they also want to control what you see in entertainment. And last but not least, vaccine information and empowerment at work, a collaborative, you know, where we can use this vaccine to make sure that our phones become our means of tracing our every move and everybody we've been near in case they have the coronavirus.
Well, this is the Great Reset and Agenda 2030, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. This is their version of George Orwell's Ministry of Truth. You know, it would stop voices like yours or mine if in an alternative news media space, which we're in, I guess, at the moment on your podcast, on your radio show. It would either stop us from saying what we're saying right now, or it would relegate us to a second class, second tier, untrustworthy source. Mm-hmm. Who gets to pick which? I'm a former journalist, and I know you've been in radio for a long time. That was my first job. I studied journalism at university. I'm actually ashamed to say that now because the profession has just become an absolute class of prostitutes to the left.
Absolutely.
It really has. Really.
Look, in the United States, you know, most people would have thought Fox News in the United States being a trustworthy source, but outside of just a handful of programs, they have now drank the Kool-Aid. I watched a press conference this past week, and I watched the whole 1 hour and 40 minutes. Then I watched the bubble-headed Fox reporter who is a clueless info babe, that's the word we used to use, standing there and didn't know anything about what she was talking about and said and misstated everything one after the other. I'm going, lady, I just watched this press conference. Were you on your phone talking to a boyfriend? You missed it. I mean,
did you happen to be talking about the Giuliani press conference?
Yes.
Yeah, I watched it too.
And
you know, in the Australian media, the story that they ran after that hour-long dissertation.
Oh, an hour and a quarter, hour and a half.
Yeah. It went for ages. And it was laying out the case. It was laying out the facts. It was laying out the evidence of vote fraud. And you know what ran on one of our online biggest news sites, mainstream news sites in Australia, the story about how Rudy Giuliani's hair dye started to leak down his face.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw it too.
Like, but how, out of that 90 minutes or whatever it was,
they can't deal with the facts because they focus on hair dye.
What the hell?
If anybody saw the press conference, and you know, you're looking at, this is an opening salvo. This is not even everything they got. You know, nobody would ever do that. But I'm listening carefully. I'm realizing that a couple of these attorneys up here are no-nonsense people. These are not fly-by-night, you know, what we call ambulance-chasing attorneys. These people have solid reputations. They have been attorneys for decades. They have impeccable reputations. And now the mainstream media is trying to slime them and diminish them. And we're talking some of the best prosecutors this country has ever seen, some of the best research lawyers we've ever seen. And they are showing logically, systematically, and factually how this election was most likely stolen, literally stolen. And the other media wants to pretend, no, it can't happen. We need Mr. Biden in there. Mr. Biden will get us all into the world, and the virus will go away, and we'll all have a great life, and everybody will be equal, and black people won't be killed by police officers anymore. I mean, this nonsense. And you know, the Black Lives Matter movement is one of the most dangerous things in this country. Yeah. You figure 13 unarmed black people were killed in all of 2019. And we haven't even hit that number yet. And of those 13, some were trying to attack and kill with their bare hands the officer. But see, you'd think that thousands were being shot or hundreds or something.
That's right.
It isn't. And it's just a ruse. And how do you say that they don't matter? Oh, my Lord. We are in a world of trouble in this country and in this world. And you know, the urban life, you know, they want to have our cities become our hubs. Hey, you can keep your cities. I'm done. I'd spent enough years in one. And no, I'm not interested. We are living in a jungle.
The crazy thing is that all of these, the media's take on whether it's BLM or whether it's the Trump lawyer's dissertation on vote fraud, whatever it is, under this Great Reset, Agenda 2030 policy, I guess, or their plan, that this would be the approved media. This would be what they would say, the trusted media. And the commentary that you've made, which has been absolutely factual on all of these matters, would be considered untrusted, untrustworthy. Do not listen. So without a doubt, you are going to see in a very, very short time proposals coming from people. In the US, it'll be from the Democrats for regulation of the free media. I think they're already out there, actually, but it'll come. Once you see it become law, you will know from whence it has come. It has been this Great Reset agenda, this Agenda 2030.
I'll tell you what, it's all about health care, environment, and, you know, equal outcomes and dumbing down of people so they don't question what they're being told. Look, Fox News has jumped the shark because they want to, they were afraid, and they're looking at the trend, and they don't want to be left out in the cold financially, so they're beginning to play ball. And they got their last three people at night. And we'll see how long that lasts. They may think they're going to be around a while. Probably they're the cash cow. But when things change, they can change that too. And I see Fox News being, you know, pushed aside or having to comply to remain viable. It's going to be hard getting facts. It really is.
Look, apart from Tucker Carlson and Lou Dobbs, you know, Fox should just pack up and go home. I mean, it is... It is sold out, and I think that they are going to find that out the very, very hard way as all of their ratings just continue to tumble, and it will, sadly, because it was a good network.
Since 1996.
That's been great, and I've loved watching it over here in Australia because, unfortunately, the American news before Fox was filtered through your left-wing media, and then it came over to Australia, and then it got another filter through our left-wing media. And so by the time we heard the story in Australia, it had been twisted twice.
Hmm.
When I could turn on Fox News before this sort of treachery that they've engaged in recently, you could find out the facts as it was raw. And it was different facts from what we were being told in the Australian media. I can't trust, sadly, Fox to show that now, and I'm sure that's the case in the US.
After what I saw with the Giuliani press conference with the others, they are literally bold-faced liars or incompetent journalists. I listened to her, and I'm going, you must have been talking to your boyfriend on the phone, because you just made five claims in a row. All bold-faced lies. I mean, she completely misrepresented everything. They had no evidence. They have affidavits, and they have expert witnesses, and, you know, they're still working. Look, many investigations take years. They've been trying to get this done in less than 2 weeks at this point. And, you know, and to have these bimbos, I'm sorry, but they are. They are worthless journalists. They shouldn't be journalists at all, because they're nothing but they have a pretty face on TV, and they have no clue of what they're talking about. They are talking empty heads. And Fox now, that's what they're hiring. You know, they might as well be CNN, you know, the Communist News Network. I mean, this has gone too far.
Yeah, that's very sad.
We've only got about a minute left here, a minute, maybe 2 minutes, but give me an overview of anything that you want to add before we have to close it out for today.
Well, for fear of opening up another can of worms, which perhaps we could talk about another time, but there is more to this great reset, and there is more to this Agenda 2030, which is part of the same thing. And I got to say, this is the scary part. They're proposing that there be a quota system for all elected politicians based on gender. So that, you know, and apparently there's a myriad of genders now, so who knows how that's going to work.
Yeah, 62.
But the worst thing is the promotion of abortion as a human right. So if you thought that it was bad right now, wait until these guys start pushing reproductive rights. That's the sort of politically correct term for it, which just means abortion on demand everywhere. And I got to say, I think in some countries, it means almost forced abortion.
It does.
On poor populaces.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I get very, very worried about, because that is an attack on humanity itself. That is an attack on God's creation.
George, I want to thank you for being on the program today. And we had a lot of fun the last time you were here back in October. And trust me, I'm going to bring you back again pretty soon. I want to keep people aware, not just of what's going on, let's say, here in the United States and perhaps over in Canada, but when it comes to this entire virus, I want to get a better handle on how it's being played out in the world. We've had a number of guests on in recent weeks as we try to understand the politics of this pandemic. And my concern, as well as the concern of many others, there's more politics at play to keep a certain level of fear going that doesn't match the devastation, or I should say, the true devastation of this virus. We can talk about 250,000 plus that have died in the United States, but the question remains, did they really die of COVID-19 or with it or assumed? And if that's the case, why are the death numbers for the year 2020 behind the death numbers for, at this time, for 2019 or 2018 or even 2017? There's something going on that has a terrible smell of politics, world politics, not just domestic politics. And I want to get deeper into that because I believe, number one, as a Christian, we should be living in the concept of what Jesus told his disciples to fear not. I'm going to remind you of something, and I want you to remember this. In the Bible, a lot of Christians talk about the love of God, and God is love. We need to be more loving. We need to be more caring And the Bible talks about love, yes, but it also says to fear not vastly more times in the scripture than it ever talks about love. And I believe part of true love is to be fully honest. And there are enough quality scientists and physicians and experienced medical authorities and doctors that don't agree with much of what the world is doing in these lockdowns and face masks and all the fear that goes with it. There have been studies done by the United States Marine Corps. I'll probably get into that a little bit more in a few days when I get all the details in front of me, that showed that all this lockdown, face mask wearing, and all of this virtually does nothing. So why do we do it? We've talked about it this week earlier when we had a Dr. Timothy Gales on the program. Sometimes I have to wonder if there is something about this face mask that makes us more compliant and leaves us more in fear. Well, tomorrow in the United States is Thanksgiving. We'll have a special program for that day. But I want to remind you, if you want to contact the program, you can find us at our website, truth2ponder.com. A number of people in recent weeks have supported the ministry via PayPal from the website. Thank you. All of it goes for covering shortwave time. Mailing address here in Georgia is 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, in Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. Until tomorrow, God bless.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.